Who has their scriptures with them today? You have your Bible with you? All right. Electronic, digital, paper, tablet, phone, whatever you have. Today I'm talking about cursed in the midst of prosperity. Cursed in the midst of prosperity. Let me share a scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. And this is one of the verses from the Torah portion from today. Today's Torah portion is Ki Tavo, which is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 26, verse 1 through 29, 9 or 8 in the Tanakh. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, 15, "But if you will not listen to the voice of Adonai your God, to take care to do all of his commandments and his statutes that I am commanding you today, then all these curses shall come on you and overtake you." You know, there are many believers today, Christians today, who believe that the instructions that we read in the Torah are only for those children of Israel thousands of years ago. And there are many who believe that they have no bearing at all on our life today. No meaning for us today in the 21st century. But it's kind of funny because when you do that, you forget about all the references that you find in the second covenant, in the new covenant, that come directly from the Torah, directly from God's word. And the basic laws that govern the nation that we live in today are found in the book of Deuteronomy. Our fundamental freedoms are based on the revelation that Moses had on Mount Sinai. If we look at the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, they all contain phrases that originated in the first five books of the Bible, in the five books of Moses, in the Torah. So it shouldn't be surprising that America has a unique connection with Israel. And I believe that the commands that God gave to Israel 3,500 years ago are still applicable to us today in the body of the Messiah. Things haven't changed at all. Americans and the body of Messiah in general seem to want to accept all the blessings which are spoken about in the Torah that God promised for the Jewish people. They want to accept that. Yeah, we receive all those blessings, Lord, that you promised to Israel. In fact, a lot of the church says that we are the new Israel. And all the blessings and all the promises that were meant for Israel have now been stripped of them and given to the church, who are now the faithful ones. Now, I don't believe that at all. That's replacement theology. That's false doctrine. I don't believe that one bit. But kind of funny thing here. If there are those who want to receive and accept all the blessings that are in the Torah that were given to the Jewish people that they say don't belong to them now, then let me tell you what, the curses also belong to the church as well. You can't take the blessings, you can't take the good and not the bad. You can't just pick and choose what you want. And unfortunately, many of the curses that were pronounced against ancient Israel by the Lord are found in the United States today, in our country today. And I want to look at seven curses that are affecting America today that were really originally put upon the nation of Israel if they would be disobedient. And it's based on Deuteronomy 28, which is part of the Torah portion for today. We see that America is experiencing a curse in the midst of prosperity. We're supposed to have the most prosperous nation in the world. You hear people say how much God has blessed America. We're the richest nation, the most blessed nation. But let me tell you what, that has changed. I just recently read a poll that talked about the countries where the people feel the best, or they feel, what's the word I'm looking for? Can't remember it. That they just feel better about themselves and their country. And the United States was like number 24 now. 24. Countries like Portugal was number one, where they have a sense of well-being and a sense of freedom and blessings and prosperity. And there are a lot of the Scandinavian countries up there and others. And Japan was up there. And we're down to 24 here. Because here as a nation, America, we're seeking after the wrong things. And we've pretty much gotten what we deserve. Because we have searched for nothing but prosperity. And we've forgotten morality and family and all these other things in pursuit of money. Notice the seven curses that overtake those who turn their backs on God. And these ancient warnings spring forth in our time as a nation. And you, if you want to take notes, you can take notes. It will eventually be on the website. But number one, the curse of mental problems. This first curse can be found in the Torah portion for today, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 28. It says, Adonai will strike you with madness, with blindness, and with confusion of heart. You know, we are a nation that's cursed with mental problems. I think, Linda, you know that. You work in nursing and nursing home. We're a nation cursed with mental problems. Teens in America are murdering each other in public schools. And preteens are raping and killing each other in the inner cities. There are an unprecedented number of gangs and violence in our nation's city. And look what's going on now with all the craziness and taking place in all the cities now. Most Americans more than ever depend on antidepressant drugs. Depression and mental health conditions plague this country. While we boast of our intellectualism and our prosperity, the mental problems are increasing and increasing and increasing. What causes a mother to throw her baby into a dumpster? Or a father to beat his child to death? What makes a wife hire a hitman to kill her husband? Or a mother to hire a man to kill a cheerleader so her daughter can take her place? It must be a curse of madness upon this country. And this is what the Lord said would fall upon Israel if they would walk in disobedience when they entered the land. And we find this in the Torah portion today, that curse of madness. The second, the curse of drought. Now, we may not experience that so much here in Florida, but in all over in the West and the Midwest and much of America have been going through a major drought for years. And they still are. I've been in California several times in the last few years, and the mountains are just burned. All the forests, everything's burned. The drought's been so bad. Now we have forest fires going on in Montana and Wyoming and Arizona and all the area that can't be contained and controlled because of no rain. And this second curse that God said would take place against the children of Israel, this curse of drought, is found in our Torah portion again today in Deuteronomy 28 verses 23 and 24, where it says, that your sky above your head will be bronze and the earth beneath you iron. Adonai will make the rain of your land powder and dust. It will come down on you from the heavens until you are destroyed. And this curse of drought causing devastation upon millions and millions of dollars of crops and forest lands has been brought or has been in America's headlines for several years now. We hear things like the worst drought in 100 years taking place here. It should stop to make us think. In Scripture, drought always signified God's disfavor on a nation because of sin. Because of Ahab's wickedness, God withheld rain for 42 months from the nation of Israel, which caused such a severe drought. We see that in 1 Kings 17, that only the prayers of Elijah, Eliyahu, the prophet, reversed that judgment. Could God also be sending a warning to America that their sin, that the sin of this nation is not going unnoticed, nor will it be unpunished? And we can also talk about what's going on here recently, where we had Hurricane Harvey that took place in Houston and Irma that's coming up, heading toward us now, and Hurricane Jose taking place in the eastern Atlantic right now, and another one, Hurricane, what is it, Katia? In the Gulf, all these things, what is God trying to show us as a people, as a nation, as a church, as a body? What is God trying to show us? I believe God is displeased with us as a body now. And I'm not going to say, I don't want you to say, God is cursing us now and he's going to destroy us all with flood and hurricane. I'm not saying that. But let's open our eyes. God is speaking to us. God is talking to us. What is God saying? What does God want us to hear? The third thing that God said would overtake the people of Israel because of their sin and disobedience is also found in the Torah portion for today. The curse of disease. This third curse can be found in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 21 and 22, and also verses 27 and 60. Where it says that Adonai will make the plague cling to you till he has put an end to you from the land that you're going to possess. The Lord will strike you with weakness and fever and inflammation and fiery heat, the sword, blight, and mildew. They will pursue you until you perish. And the Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with hemorrhoids, with scabs, and with itching from which you cannot be healed. And he goes on, he will bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt that you were afraid of, and they will now come back and cling to you. You know, Yeshua warned that the pestilences and the diseases and the sicknesses would be a sign of his return to earth. He mentioned these things. So does this mean that the return of Yeshua is closer than ever? Some people are saying again, Rosh Hashanah this year, which is going to begin on the 22nd in the evening, Friday evening into Saturday the 23rd. It's going to be an alignment of 12 stars and all these things taking place. Is it the return of Yeshua? I don't know. Nobody knows these things. But God is showing us through events taking place and through natural signs in the skies and eclipses taking place that we need to notice what's going on all around us. Is God speaking to us? And if God is speaking to us, what is he saying? We need to be hearing and listening. And Yeshua said, he spoke about, I said, in Matthew 24:7. And that word pestilence in Hebrew can mean the plague that ends in death. We see it all around us. AIDS here in America. We see a rise again in things like gonorrhea and syphilis and other communicable diseases, which some of them have been eradicated, hadn't been around for years. Now they're coming back strongly once again because America has thrown down all morality and anything is going now. If it feels good, do it. Everything goes now. You know, medical science has made remarkable strides toward curing diseases. But new viruses and new diseases are being discovered faster than the ability of the medical community to even respond to them. West Nile virus, the bird flu, all these things taking place. And the Bible warned that if we keep sinning, the diseases of Egypt would come upon us. Fourth, and again, this is mentioned in our Torah portion today, Ki Tavo, fourth, the curse of divorce. The fourth curse is located in Deuteronomy 28, verses 30 and 32. And it says, you will become engaged to a woman, but another man will sleep with her. You will build a house, but you will not dwell in it. You will plant a vineyard, but you will not put it to use. Going on, your sons and daughters will be given to another people while your eyes look on, longing for them all day long. These verses are talking about the decline of the family. And we see that so prevalent in America, the decline of the family and destruction of our young people. Kids without fathers today, being raised by single mothers, kids wandering in the streets with no direction whatsoever, a lost generation, getting involved in every evil and every horrible thing because they have no direction in their lives anymore. And this is what the curse of divorce and single parents and just they're not even marrying today anymore. Divorce rates well over 50%. Well over 60, up to 70% now. And people say, why even get married today? Why should we get married? We're just going to get divorced. So let's just live together. And if it doesn't work, we'll just walk our ways. But what about all the little kids that are there? What about the other ones who have no fathers? And the curse of divorce. And it was Moses who permitted divorce under the Torah. And Yeshua said in Matthew 19, verse 7 through 9, from the beginning it was not so. This is not what God wanted. God did not want this to take place, but God permitted it because of the hardness of your hearts. God permitted it. Divorce is a curse that robs a father of his family and home, or a mother of her family and home. And the children are the innocent victims of this. And since society accepts divorce and remarriage so readily, we see multiple marriages are common. People being married 3, 4, 5, 6 times. God's best plan, let me tell you what, God's best plan is for a man and a woman. One man, one woman. Not one woman and one woman. Not one man and one man. Not multiple men and women. One man and one woman to remain faithful to one another and to stay committed for a lifetime. For a lifetime. Till death do us part. Till death do us part. Number five, another curse, the fifth curse, again in Deuteronomy 28, children will become a heartache. Children will become a heartache. Deuteronomy 28:41 tells us the fifth curse. Sons and daughters you will father, but they will not be yours, for they will go into captivity. This is the curse of children becoming heartaches to their parents. Many youth in our country today are in a type of spiritual captivity. They're bound. They're captive. They're bound by drugs. They're bound by pornography. They're bound by alcohol. Some face fines and jail sentences. because of their violent acts and their rebellion against society and their parents and against God. Parents grieve as they reminisce about times when their children were young, when we held our little children in our arms when they were safe, and everything seemed so wonderful and good and beautiful. We reminisce for those times. The warm memories that haunt them as they pray and that somehow their children, our children, will come to their senses and be restored to God. I pray this all the time. This is my prayer in my own situation as well. I pray. Wayward children bring much more sorrow than joy to their parents as they rebel and seek worldly pleasures. And the warning of this curse has become reality in America today because we have broken God's principles here. Number 6, also found in Deuteronomy 28, the curse of strangers owning the business. The 6th curse is found in Deuteronomy 28:43, where it says, "The outsider who is in your midst will rise up higher and higher above you, and you will go down lower and lower." There's a story that David Wilkerson talks about, where he says a group of ministers visited David Wilkerson, the pastor of Times Square Church in New York City. While eating in a restaurant on top of a skyscraper, Wilkerson asked the ministers to look out the window and tell them what they saw. And one minister, he noticed all the lights and the tall structures and all the beauty of all the architecture. But Wilkerson said, "Look at the lighted signs that are on the building. Foreign nations own this city." And that's the same here. Foreign nations own America. China owns America today. China holds such an enormous debt of the United States. If they ever called in that debt, America would crumble. Foreign nations own America. What is it that you even get anymore? I was talking, I think, to Irene and some people elsewhere. You know, if the issues in North Korea escalate and war take place, it's going to be Third World War. It will be. But look, South Korea. Two of my cars come from South Korea. My phone comes from South Korea. Joshua's phone comes from South Korea. Half the things I own come from South Korea. What are we going to do? Everything. What do we make in America anymore? We grow crops. That's about it. But then we send them overseas, the crops. Or we pay farmers to not grow things. What do we have here that we do, we build, we make anymore in America? Nothing. Everything we get from foreign countries. They own us now. There's such a large number of foreign-owned businesses in America today. Yes, America is a melting pot of many nationalities. But foreigners own so many of the corporations that were one-time American-owned corporations. Chrysler, one of the early companies in this country, major companies. It's not an American company anymore. It's not owned here anymore. A lot of major corporations here. Some of our pharmaceutical companies here and medical companies here are not owned anymore here. They're owned by foreign nations. And those Americans who work for foreign-owned businesses are working for the outsider among us, who are going higher and higher while we go lower and lower. While it may not be politically correct to point this out, the globalization of the world economy is a part of end-time scenario. Now, I don't get into it like my son gets into it. He really gets into it. Globalization is the anti-Messiah. And he talks about AI, artificial intelligence being the beast. And maybe God is giving him all these insights. Maybe my mind is all old now. I don't know. No, okay. Well, thank you. One person doesn't think so. That's good. The seventh curse is also spoken about in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 from our Torah portion today. The curse of abortion, which I spoke about a few weeks ago very strongly. And this last curse can be found in Deuteronomy 28 verses 56 through 57, where it says, "The tender and delicate women among you who never ventured to set the sole of her foot on the ground out of delicateness and tenderness, her eye will become evil against the husband of her bosom and her son and daughter. For in secret she will eat her afterbirth that issues from between her legs and the children she bears for lack of anything else in the siege and stress with which your enemy will distress you within all your gates." Wow. Scripture indicates that there will be times of severe famine in the nation of Israel. Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote about a famine in Jerusalem which was so terrible that one woman ate her own child. Some around her became angry because she didn't share her meal with them. In Solomon's times, families sacrificed their children to the pagan god Molech, which I mentioned a few weeks ago, in a ceremony referred to as passing their children through the fire. The seventh curse of killing or sacrificing children is evidence in America today, as women who have carried their children almost even to term suddenly decide they don't want their babies anymore. And at these abortuaries around the nation, they don't sacrifice their children on altars. They simply terminate their pregnancies, they call it. And then the bodies, these bodies of these precious, precious little babies whose hearts were beating in their mother's wombs, whose features were perfectly shaped down to their fingernails and eyelashes, are discarded as trash. And you think God is not behind the things that we see taking place in America today? Open your eyes. God revealed that a time would come when a woman would turn against her husband and leave her children and hate the children that she conceives and births. In part, this describes the curse of abortion. In times of prosperity, and America has been a country of prosperity. In times of prosperity, Americans, and we've seen it lately, low inflation, employment going down, abundance or improvement in the job pictures. In such times, people seem to spend more money and indulge in their blessings. Simultaneously, they fail to seek God. The more and more they get, the less and less they seek God. And they ignore the warnings that their sins and disobedience will result in calamity. The Bible is full of stories about disobedient people who first enjoy their blessings, then ignore warnings regarding sin, until finally they experience the judgment of God. So if this is true, could such things happen in America? Could these things happen in this great land that we all love? I believe yes, because we have indulged in the same sins that God spoke against to the children of Israel and the curses that would fall upon them. We are doing the exact same thing, but we want the blessings which are spoken about in the scriptures, but we don't want the curses for the disobedience. Well, let me tell you, you can't have the blessings without the curses. You can't have the good without the bad. And does America think it's not going to happen here? Are we truly experiencing the beginning of God's judgment, even in the midst of being a prosperous nation? In prosperous times, non-believers mock The idea that America will decline because of its sin. They mock it. You're crazy. Look, we have a strong stock market. We have a thriving economy. We've reached levels of the stock market that we've never reached before. And it seems like the possibility of economic failure is far from us at all. And again, and we can see in Israel examples of the same thing. Because they believed that their prosperity would continue to make them great. And that God would overlook. 200 years before the terrible Babylonian captivity, Isaiah warned the king of Israel that Babylon would overtake Jerusalem. We see that in 2 Kings 20. And during the 200 years following that prophecy, few in Israel believed that it possibly could happen. They believed the prophets were prophesying about a future generation, but not their generation. It couldn't be us. It couldn't happen to us. Look, the vines are fruitful. The cattle and sheep graze in the green fields. The gold and silver coins filled investors' pockets. Years later, news that the Babylonian army was coming didn't frighten the overconfident children of Israel. They assumed that God would protect them as God had done forever before. As he did when he destroyed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers just in one night. Well, God will do the same for us with the Babylonian army. Surely they thought that God would protect Israel once again like he always has. But it wasn't on this occasion. When King Nebuchadnezzar concluded his assault in 606 BC and Jerusalem and the temple lay in rubble. And thousands and thousands of Jewish people were led in chains into captivity in Babylon. Before Americans claimed to be exempt from First Covenant judgments or Old Testament judgments, we have to remember that our nation is spiritually connected to Israel in a sense. Just like the ancient Israelites, few Americans believed that America could ever fail. Just read the book, The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. It's a thick book. They thought they were infallible. They became the greatest nation in the world. All the nations of the world paid homage to them. They had conquered most of the known world. But their sin and their immorality and their mistreatment of people and so many things led to the fall of the Roman Empire. But America doesn't believe it could ever happen here because we've been given so much knowledge and we know better. But we are a nation that's sinning against God and we know better. When God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, these cities, let me tell you, they didn't have any Bibles. Sodom and Gomorrah didn't have any Bibles. They didn't have messianic synagogues. They didn't have churches. They didn't have Christian television and radio and Christian literature to proclaim the truth. Yet Yeshua said that if the people in Sodom and Gomorrah had witnessed these miracles that he was doing, they would have repented. He said this in Luke chapter 10. You know, America, here we have 24-hour access to religious programming, Christian radio and television. We have churches on so many corners of streets throughout every city and every state throughout this country. We have Christian bookstores, Christian schools, Christian activities. Yet regularly we seem to witness another anti-God court case over such things as public prayer or Christian landmarks. Are we truly any better off than Sodom and Gomorrah if we know the truth and refuse to repent of our sins? Are we any better? Does America think that we are exempt? from the judgments of God? Three basic elements of God's judgments are seen in Scripture, and they are water, wind, and fire. Well, let me tell you, we're experiencing right now the water and the wind. Those are the three basic elements of God's judgment. Water, wind, and fire. Look at the long east coast of America. What's taking place here and what we've seen in recent years with Sandy and all the ones we've had in recent years. Violent earthquakes beat against the shores and it's costing billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars worth of damage. In Central America, thousands of acres burn as fires scorch the land and leave devastation. On the West Coast, the ground convulses with earthquakes. Even at, what is it? Where is Old Faithful at? Is that Yellowstone? Jellystone? Wyoming? That thing is starting to rumble and quakes there like they've never seen before. It looks like it's going to be an explosion right out of there, a volcano explosion. God's doing something. God's doing something. From east to west, God's elements are at work in our nation. The water, the wind, and the fire. Just as a woman experiences pain when she goes into labor, Yeshua warned that certain events, including these crazy weather conditions, were the beginning of the birth pains, the beginning of sorrow. Now many people blame such erratic weather patterns as a result of global warming. Oh, it's just global warming that we're seeing today. And there may be some truth to that. We haven't been very faithful with taking care of this planet that God has given us, have we? We've destroyed it. You can't even walk anywhere, even in the deepest forest, and not see McDonald's wrappers. It's ridiculous. It's terrible what we've done to this nation. The rivers and the lakes so polluted, they stink. Controls the weather. Is it global warming? Who controls the weather? God controls the weather. Many previous empires have fallen from corruption and immorality. Is this going to be America's plight? Or will an enemy from a foreign land hold America hostage with nuclear and biological weapons? We're seeing right now, North Korea is holding us hostage, basically. In Syria, chemical weapons are still being showered down upon their own people. And I love when I see that Israel takes steps nowadays that we won't do anymore. They just went in and they bombed in Syria a weapons arsenal. We won't do that stuff anymore. How long will a righteous God allow his name to be trampled upon his own vineyard that he established? Spiritually discerning people must already hear the thunder before the coming storm in America. So just as I'm concluding now, Bob, as Bob eagerly makes his way up to the front. So in conclusion, no nation outside of Israel has such roots and connections to the Hebrew Scriptures and to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob than the United States of America. Our nation was founded on those principles of the Torah. The patterns of the land, the federal buildings, the documents of our founding fathers give evidence to America's divine design and prophetic purpose. Because we know the truth, our responsibility to it is greater than that of any other nation. If we sin against truth, we deserve the punishment meted down upon the scales of justice in heaven's temple. As the times of the Gentiles come to an end, that Yeshua talked about. And we're coming to that end. That is, the good news have been proclaimed to all the nations of the world, to all other, to all the Goyim, all the other nations. Those times have ended now. It's not too late to turn the corner and bring this nation back to its spiritual foundation, at least for a season. And I'm glad that President Trump is our president. He's not perfect. He's far from perfect. But he's getting spiritual and godly advice from ministers all over the country who are praying for him, meeting with him and praying for him. One first covenant biblical command is as valid today as it was when was written. And this is from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Turning back from your wicked ways requires repentance. Teshuvah. We're in the time right now. We're in the month of Elul, the month of preparation, getting ready for Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets. Part of the message, the theme is repentance, teshuvah, repenting and turning around and turning back to God. It requires a turning away from wrong and turning toward which is good. You know, there are criminals that say they're sorry for their crimes, when in reality they're just sorry that they were caught. And that's the same with us. We say we're sorry for the things that we do, our sins, but only because we were caught. True repentance happens when you say, I am sorry and I will never, ever, ever do it again. I will do what is right. People, listen, the clock is ticking. The clock is ticking and time's passing by.